Well, I appreciate the mercies of the Lord again this evening. It's, as the scripture tells us, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. So it's the Lord's mercies that any of us are here, is it not? And we have a lot to owe the Lord. Of course, we owe Him our lives. We owe Him praise and honor for all the things that He's done for us. And not only that, but all the things that He will do for us. Not just trying to be an optimistic type of person. You know, you've heard of folks out there, some of the self-help books and such that they tell you, well, just think positive. You know, just think positive and things will turn out for you and everything will be looking up, you know, and just deal with life accordingly. Well, there's a balance in that. Yes, that is good to have that, but I go beyond that. I want to look at it this way, or look at life this way. Look to God. Think on Him. What's the scripture say? Think on these things. It lists off all those other things. And truly, that is the key to life, is it not? But I want to, let's take this a little deeper here this evening. We all know that we're on a journey. We're all pilgrims and strangers. There's scriptures and songs that talk about that. We're all on a journey, a pilgrimage through life. And there's some scriptures and songs speak about it being a race, a Christian race. We're all running this race. So with that in mind, we realize that there, of course, are going to be obstacles. There's going to be things that we have, difficult times, but you could say there'll be some unknowns, some things in the future that we don't know, we don't have the answer to, or we can't foresee what's going to happen. And maybe there's also some memories of things in the past on our journey, of maybe some surprises, you know, things that were unknown, all of a sudden, poof, there it was, and we were dealt this issue, or we had to confront this, or whatever the case is, and perhaps there's some disappointments, some regrets, some things in our past that maybe we're not so proud of. There's a song that talks of this, number 300 in our songbook, "The Land of Beulah." I want to read one verse here I have written down. It says, "I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years, often hindered in my journey by the ghost of doubts and fears, broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way." But that's not the end of it. "But the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today." You see, this is not just the positive side that I just want to choose to think positive about everything, but it's to think about the truth of the matter is, and that is God's Spirit is there for us. He doesn't want us to be left alone, wandering around, not knowing what our purpose in life is, and just wandering through as a pilgrim, a nomad, just wandering around, you know, just kind of meandering, going whichever way the wind blows, and just living our lives accordingly. But through everything, God has a purpose, and God has a plan. And through this, it says the Spirit led unerring. And so, yes, there are the difficult times, but here's the flip side of it. There are also the joyous times, the times of shouting with victory. The Lord has given us victory, or He's given us a healing touch, or He's comforted us, or all those things. And that's along with this journey as well. And the Spirit will lead us through those times too. The mountaintop experiences, the times where we're just joyful in the Lord, and we can't help but have a smile on our face, you know, those type of things. But through all of this, we're all still on a journey. And through all of this, here is another, you could say that's a common denominator. But here is another common denominator, and that is there is a God, okay? Through all of life's ups and downs, through all of these journeys, this pilgrimage that we're on, there is still a God. And if I could have a title for the message tonight, it is, "Let God Be God." That's the challenge for all of us. And you could say it this way, it should be an encouragement to us too, that there is a God out there that cares for us. And not only does He care for us, He has the power to take care of us, okay? And the power to lead us through with His Spirit all the way through this pilgrimage of life. So there is, again, these positive things to think about. I think of the scriptures in Ecclesiastes. We'll just skim over a few of these. The third chapter. A time and a season for all things. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. You see, that's life. And truly, Solomon was a wise man. And writing these words, he lived a lot of life. And he had a lot of wisdom given from God. And he understood that through all these times, there was still, okay, a common denominator that there is still a God. There's still a God in control. There's another set of scriptures I want to read here in the book of Psalms, the 68th chapter. Psalm 68, we'll read some verses here. It says, let God arise, let His enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate Him flee before Him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God and sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name Jah, and rejoice before Him. A father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those that are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You see, this is the God that we're dealing with. We're not talking about someone that has forgotten us. You know, how many times have you heard stories of... this world is full of these stories. Where... we'll call it mixed families, where maybe a husband or a wife has been married multiple times. And they end up having large families. You're like, wow, how many children do you have? Well, I have 10 or whatever. Well, it's maybe 3 from 3 previous marriages, and then from a fourth marriage, there's another child. So there's, you know, 10 children. But and what happens is sometimes these children, and I've heard of stories like this, it just breaks your heart to where that child maybe has never seen his real father. Never really known his father. And so he'll spend his next maybe half of his lifetime trying to find his father. And in that, he's trying to find himself. You see what I'm saying? It's the father has forgotten him. Okay? Well, that's in a literal sense. We can understand that. But I want to tell you something. We're dealing with the God here tonight. That He's not forgot about His dear children. As Sister Leanne was saying earlier, she's thanking the Lord that she is His child. God has not forgotten her. All right? But it's through these life experiences, I want us to remember, let God be God. Well, let's go on here. Let's read this. Verse 7. O God, when Thou wentest before Thy people, when Thou didst march through the wilderness, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. And Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. O God, didst Thou send a plentiful rain, whereby Thou didst confirm Thine inheritance when it was weary? That congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of Thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. So here we have that the earth even recognizes who its creator is. That God is its creator. That when the law was given on Mount Sinai, the earth shook. There was thunderings and lightnings. And that was God, His presence. And there was In other words, when God says, when God commands the earth to respond a certain way, that's exactly what it does. That's God who we're dealing with. But not only does God have his way in the universe, and we'll get a little bit more into that here in a bit, and that's his creation, the universe, but it's also through us as humans. We are also his creation. And so, and a lot of times we can look at the natural beauty of the earth and say, oh wow, that is so beautiful. We can look at the beautiful sunsets, the beautiful flowers, the all these such things. You see these photographs sometimes of a beautiful mountain range and the blue sky and the white clouds and the sun over here and the green fields and the flowers and the little creek and all these things, and it's beautiful. You're like, oh wow, God, you created that. And you do all these things. You keep this earth in existence and all these things maintaining themselves. And it's the power of God. You could say in a word that we're letting God be God. You see what I'm saying? That's in the earth, okay? But when it comes to you and I, which is also his creation, God also wants to prove that he is God. You see, God is a jealous God. He says, I will not give my glory to another. Well, he created us that we might glorify him, you see? So in ourselves, in our own lives, we need to say, Lord, I want you to prove yourself as God in my life. You see what I'm saying? That it's so easy that we'll just let God be God and all these other things out there. But the Lord's saying, what about in your life? What about my life? Let God be God in our lives. Truly, this psalmist David, this is a prayer that he was given. And you consider his life. He had a lot of ups and downs too. And in the end, he was desiring God to receive the glory. He desired to, you remember, he desired so much to build the temple. Oh, that's what he wanted to do. Why do you think he was wanting to do that? He wanted to give God glory and praise over and over. He wanted to build that house so bad. But God's saying, no, you can't do that, but your son will. But to me, that proves this point. David was wanting to glorify the power of God. And in such a way that to prove it in a literal sense, but building this temple. But the same with you and I. The Lord wants to be glorified in our bodies. And Lord, help us that we would allow him to do that. Well, so this is talking about God, letting God be God. But sometimes when faced with adversities, I thought of there was actually a couple of songs that we sang this morning that I'd already been thinking about. And one of them we sang, I don't remember the number of it now, The Bondage of Love. And it says in one of the verses, I passed the rough rocks with a smile and a shout, and I just let my God, his purpose, his dear purpose, fulfill. In another verse, it says, forever I choose the goodwill of my God. And then another verse yet says, roll on checkered seasons, bring smiles or bring tears. But throughout this song, it's saying that we're bound to God's love. God loves us so much that we are bound. We just want to return that love back to him, that we can't do anything else. We would feel guilty of doing anything else. And truly, that's what God desires, that we return that love. Well, what does that do? That gives the glory back to God. But I think of a couple of promises I'm going to throw in here in Isaiah, the 25th chapter, verse 4. Isaiah 25. And verse 4, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. So this is someone that's going to give us strength, someone that's going to provide for us in a time of need. This is the God we serve, and this is a promise, okay? But here's the challenge. When we are in the situations that this is describing, we need to let God be God. We're not talking about just laying down and playing dead and just not doing anything. That's not what we're talking about here. But it's an active faith believing that, Lord, you gave me these promises. Lord, you promised you'd never leave me nor forsake me. And when the heat is on, when I'm poor, when I don't have the strength, and when I feel the heat from the storms and all these things, that we would let God be God in our life. Well, there's another scripture here in the 41st chapter of Isaiah, same book, Isaiah 41 and 17. It says here, again, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. How many times do you remember the stories of the children of Israel? When they needed water, we're talking about over a million people out there, plus all the animals. Okay? They didn't have bottles of water they could buy at Walmart, or these big 5-gallon jugs of water, or whatever the case is. They didn't have the wells like we can go in here to the kitchen or the restrooms and turn on the faucet, instant water. You know, we can, you know, feed multitudes of people, quench the thirst. But here you have out in a desert, wilderness, and they got thirsty. Guess who gave them water to drink? God did. How else were they going to drink water? There was times where there was no water, and Moses would have to, God would use Moses, he would speak the word or strike the rock, and water would come out, and God provided for him. Well, that was letting God be God. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes when we are in that position, and we feel thirsty, we feel needy before the Lord, sometimes it's easier just to say, well, maybe we'll just kind of curl up here and just kind of, you know, just not really ask, and just kind of let things happen like it is, and not actually have an active faith. You see, that's what it's talking about here. That, and how many times are the children of Israel, they were a stubborn and stiff-necked people. And most of those folks, 99% of them, that started out on the journey, did not make it to the other side because of a lack of faith. And yet God fed them and gave them this water and the manna and the quail and all these things. But yet only Joshua and Caleb made it to the other side. He rose up another generation, you see? And so it's as if, yes, in a sense, those in the original, the ones that were free from Egypt, yes, they were letting God be God, but they stopped short. You see, it's as if, well, when it comes to fighting these giants over there that we look like as grasshoppers, I'm not going to let God be God. You see, that's what happened. They're like, oh no, though, that's too far. He delivered me through the Red Sea, but these giants over there, no, that's too much. They weren't letting God be God, okay? So they suffered the consequences. But yet God was merciful and rose up another generation through the leadership of Joshua and Caleb. And through this generation, they were the ones that crossed over or through the River Jordan. And through the defeat of Jericho, the walls were brought down. They allowed God to be God, to bring them the victory. Isn't that wonderful? That's the God we serve tonight. Well, I want to stop here. And let's just consider for a moment. Let's consider God and who He is. We'll ask this question. How many times perhaps have you guys, especially you younger ones, the teenagers and children, when you're picking teams to play a game, you want to pick someone that, we'll just say playing football. You want to have a good quarterback. So you want to pick a guy that he can throw really good, okay? And maybe someone that's kind of tall where they can see around really well and they can run, you know, just a really good all-around athlete that can has a good arm on him. So we'll pick him for the quarterback. And then maybe someone that can run really fast and has really good hands for catching things as a wide receiver, you know? And then maybe a big stocky guy for someone to, as a center, to hike the ball back to the quarterback, you know, someone to guard the line there. So you're choosing out, you're picking all these different individuals that have these special strengths in these certain areas. And that's who you choose to be on your team, okay? Well, when it comes to, I don't want to say life is a game, but just for the sake of conversation here, in the game of life, sometimes we want to pick and choose who we want on our team. You understand what I'm saying? When really the answer should be, for all of the needs and the voids that we have in our lives, it should be, I want you, Lord, in this area, on my team, okay? And in this situation, I want you, Lord, over here too. But so many times it's easy for us to fill in the gap, say, well, I think I can do okay over there by myself, you know? And I think I can, you know, or I'll call brother or sister so-and-so and they can kind of feel the need there. And I, you know, but the real issue is we need to be asking the Lord, say, Lord, you be God of my life in every aspect. I can't just pick and choose and serve God half-heartedly. You realize that's a lot of people, that's what they try to do. That's what it's talking about being a lukewarm Christian, okay? It's someone that they just want to serve God in this area and they ask God for help over here. But in these other areas, I want to be in control. And therefore, you become lukewarm. You're not effective for the Lord, okay? So, again, going back to choosing teams, and how many times have we seen on a team where one guy tried to be the hero of the whole team by himself? In other words, he figured he could do this and he could do that, you know, that he could do it all. Well, that doesn't work very long. He's going to wear out. And he can't be in two places at once. You see, he can't be the quarterback and the wide receiver at the same time. It's impossible. It doesn't work. But sometimes that's how maybe we live life. That we want to control this and we want this over here. But what we need to do is say, Lord, I want you for everything. You know, I want you to take all of this. All right. And truly, God is capable of doing that. Because of, well, we read some of these promises, some of the stories we just told. God is capable, all right? God is, we'll shift gears here a little bit. Sometimes we want to look at life, well, let's think about love. You know, love is a beautiful thing. And truly, the scriptures bear this out, that God is love. But so many times, our world twists that meaning of love to where all it becomes is selfishness. And the love is for all these selfish things. And so when you hear someone say, oh, I love you or whatever, it's in a perverted way a lot of times. Like, well, no. But truly, God is love. And everything about God is pure and just and true and holy, okay? It's not what the world and what the devil has twisted people's minds to think of love, but love is good. And God is the definition of good. And God is the definition of love and all these things. But the world tries to press in our minds and our hearts that, well, love, you know, you got to be careful with that thing, that you can really get hurt with love. Well, that's true. That's when mankind is involved, okay? But when God is involved, God's not going to hurt you with His love. God's not going to destroy you. There is nothing negative about God. There's nothing harmful about God. So let God be God. Everything about God is good. Everything about God is just and true and righteous. So let God be God. And when we're faced with these challenges of love, and of hate. I'm not talking about hating individuals. I'm talking about hating sin and the devil. But we're faced with these challenges. Well, Lord, what do I do in this situation? In other words, who do I pick, you know, for my team in this situation, in this position? Okay? Pick God. Have God fill all those positions. All right? It's okay. It's safe. All right? Now, let's go a little further. Again, about who God is. And I want to do this in a way that puts in perspective who God is and who we are. I want to draw a little diagram here, and I've shared this before, but I feel impressed to share it again. It's been an inspiration to me. I'm going to draw a little diagram here. I've drawn there, it's a crude representation of our Milky Way galaxy. Obviously on a very small scale, okay? The Milky Way galaxy is basically in a circular shape, and it's kind of a thin disk, if you could say it that way. And so this is kind of turned on its side a little bit. For those of you, especially come this summertime, if you look up in the sky at night, the clear night, you'll see the edge of our Milky Way galaxy, which our solar system is rotating in this galaxy. And you can see all these bunches of little stars together, okay? Just a thick cluster of them through here. That's the Milky Way galaxy. And that's the galaxy that we abide in. But I want to remind us again of how big God is and how small we are. So to put in perspective, let me read a scripture here, one we've heard before. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, our ways and our thoughts can get clouded, as I mentioned earlier, with the pressures and the influences of the world, okay? Where it's clouded of what really understanding what love is and all those such things. And what life is all about, of why we're here, you know. It's not just to please ourselves, it's to please the Lord. So we have to seek the Lord for His thoughts, okay? And His thoughts are higher than ours. So there's a vast gap there. But again, He didn't leave us, okay, and forsake us just to kind of make it through life on our own. Say, well, just go sick them, go get them, you know, just live life and I'll talk to you 50 years from now. We'll check in on you. That's not how God did it. He's not a father that has forgotten us. So when we consider God's creation and consider the size of who, how big God is, it really, to me anyway, warms my heart. So let's start here and putting God in the true perspective of how, of what His size and power is. We'll start with this. The speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. Not per hour, per second. 186,000 miles per second. And to put that in perspective, light travels around the earth 7 times in a second. So that's how fast the speed of light is. And it traveled around the earth 7 times in that 1 second. Okay. So, considering the speed of light, you would have to travel 5.88 trillion miles in 1 year is the speed of light. Just think about that. 5.88 trillion miles in 1 year. Okay? So this is the ruler that we have for measuring the universe. All right? So let's keep that in mind. And that's the speed of light. And it's light years. You've heard the term light years, okay? That's just what we're talking about. So the size of the Milky Way galaxy, which we abide in, let me put a little dimension on here. The size of our Milky Way galaxy is 100,000 light years wide. Think about that, okay? That is big. I can't even comprehend. I mean, my mind runs out. I can't fathom how big just our Milky Way galaxy is, okay? 100,000 light years wide. But here it is, in this galaxy, There are billions of stars. Just in our Milky Way galaxy, billions of stars, okay? Not in all these other galaxies, but just in our galaxy, billions of stars. And those stars are like our sun, okay? Our sun is actually a star, all right? So one of those billions of stars in this galaxy is our sun, which therefore is our little solar system. And here we have, somewhere out here, that little speck right there. That little speck is our solar system. Okay? So, let's put in perspective now how big or how small our solar system is compared to the Milky Way galaxy. To put this in terms we can comprehend and visualize, it would be as if our solar system, that little red dot right there, would be the size of a quarter. Okay? Size of a quarter, about an inch in diameter. Okay? And throw that quarter out in the middle of North America. Poof. North America being the Milky Way galaxy. And take this tiny little quarter, and that is our solar system, and just toss it out in the middle of some Kansas wheat field, and there is our solar system. Bloop, right there. Okay? And that's just our Milky Way galaxy. Now, do you realize that our Milky Way galaxy, that there are actually billions of other galaxies out there in the universe? This is just our little Milky Way galaxy, okay? With billions of stars, one of those stars being our sun, which is in this solar system. And then here we have the little planet Earth floating around that little tiny speck right there of our solar system. And we have this Milky Way galaxy floating out there in the space of universe. And our Milky Way galaxy is a speck of all these other millions and billions of other galaxies out there. Okay? So then we go down the Milky Way galaxy. Then we go down to our solar system. Then we go down to the Earth, which is just a little speck in our solar system. Then we come down to, there's what, 7 billion on the face of the Earth right now of individuals, humans, okay? I believe that's the population. And then it comes down to North America itself. Then the United States, then the state of Missouri, then the Newton County, and then Granby / Neosho, and then this little chapel, and then down to you and I. And all of this, and I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, we are just a speck of a speck of a speck of a speck in all of God's mighty creation. And yet all of these promises in the Word of God are for you and I. We're just little nothings, so to speak, to everyone else. Oh, there's how many ruthless leaders throughout the time in history have treated humanity as animals and killed them by the millions. That's what they thought of humans. But we have a God that is a God of love, that loves you and I. And as we heard this morning, gave His only begotten Son that we might be saved, okay? And we're just a little speck of a speck of a speck of a speck. And God loves us so much that He did all this for us and gave His Word, all these promises, so that why? That He might be glorified. And how is He going to be glorified? Through these little specks on earth. Doesn't that make you feel so small? But yet, doesn't that make you feel so special? That's how much God cares for us. That it's beyond my comprehension. I can't take it all in. But again, just considering that we're out there spinning, okay, on this earth, and we're spinning in our solar system, And our solar system is spinning within this Milky Way. And we don't feel it. Do you realize, just for the humor me for a moment here. God created it that way. That I can stand here still and can function and do about anything I please to do, for the most part. Okay? How many times have you maybe been on a merry-go-round and you're spinning, someone's pushing you, and you're spinning, you're hanging on to these bars and you're grasping, and then once you get off the merry-go-round, you can't stand up. But yet, God, we're spinning thousands of miles an hour, okay, and we don't feel it. God created it that way. And you know why He created it that way? Where we're not just bouncing off the walls in chaos. You understand? Like, take a little rubber ball. How many times have you done this in a room, whether it's in your house or wherever, or a big gymnasium? Take one of these little rubber balls and just throw it as hard as you can. And boy, it's bouncing all around. It's out of control. Okay? Did you realize if Satan had his way, that's what he would be doing with you and I in our lives? You understand the point here? But yet God in His power, not only physically, where we can walk around and function and do things for the Lord, okay, where He made gravity in such a way, just a perfect, where we don't feel the effects of what's really going on out there, where we can walk about doing things for each other, for the Lord, and functioning, glorifying God in our bodies. And God's pleased with that, okay? And to think that God did that, and let's take this to another level, spiritually speaking. The devil would love for us to feel like we're in this little rubber ball and being bounced all across this room, out of control, okay? But we have a God that can take His laws, okay, whatever laws He needs to enact, and He can catch that ball in midstream and say, "You ask for help, child? I see, you know." And He could catch that ball and say, "I got you." And everything is under control. It's under His control then. You see? That's all the Lord is asking, that we ask for His help. That He's like, say, "Father, where are you at? I need your help. I'm out of control. Where are you?" And Lord will say, "I'm right here, child. You'll catch us. Get us under control. And give us that peace, that assurance that everything's okay. I'm going to take care of you. You don't have to be bouncing all around. And you don't have to feel the effects of all the outer influences of this world that's bouncing around in your mind, that's bringing confusion, bringing oppression, bringing all these things trying to destroy you." That's what the devil's trying to do. He's saying, "No, I got you right here." And we're just a speck of a speck of a speck of a speck. But yet God wants to help us, wants to move within us in such a way that it glorifies Him. But you realize what that's doing? That's allowing God to be God. That's what God specializes in, is taking control of people's lives and making something of it. You see what I'm saying? That's what God can do. And how many times, I mentioned earlier the analogy of playing in a game where you want, you know, the best person for this position but you think of someone that can specialize in something. How many times have you been on a perplexing project? I know there's been times maybe I've been trying to be a shade tree mechanic, working on a little engine or something. I'm stumped. I can't figure something out. Well, guess what I do? I call up someone that might know the answer. I call up someone that's a mechanic. There's times I've called Brother Danny Adams. He's a true master mechanic. And I've called him up and just told him what sounds the engine is making. Or maybe let him hear it over the phone or just describing all these things. And he's putting all these pieces together and then he spits out an answer. That most of the time is correct. He's a specialist. Okay? Well, that's what I'm trying to encourage us with tonight. God is a specialist at being God. That's who He is. He says, "I am God and I change not." He's not just going to take a vacation next week and be gone for a while, or take a nap and let everything be out of control for a while. No, God is still God. So let's allow Him to be God. Not just out there for everyone else or for the universe. Oh, God creates the beautiful galaxies and stars and the clouds. Well, that's great, but allow God to be God in our lives. Well, I have some more scriptures here in closing. In Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, this is what the Lord was desiring all along. These are prophecies of what He desired to do. And I read earlier that verse in number 300, the land of Beulah. The end of that verse said, "But the Spirit led an erring to the land I hold today." You see, that's what God wants to do, is put His Spirit within us, that He might be glorified. So you read here in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel, in verse 26, this whole chapter is so good, so rich, I'm not going to read it all. But just focus on a few scriptures here. It says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land I will give to your fathers. And ye shall be my people." And here's the rest of it. "And I will be your God." Isn't that wonderful? That's all God is asking of each and every one of us. He wants to be our God. The 7 billion people that are on this earth, this little tiny speck of the earth, God is pleading in so many ways. He's sending out His gospel through the ministers and missionaries, the workers for Him to spread the word that I want to be your God. I want to save you. I want to sanctify you. I want you to glorify me. He's a jealous God. And He's been doing this for thousands of years. God's plea for mankind to save them, deliver them. He wants to be their God. He wants to be our God. Isn't that wonderful? The God that created this magnificent universe, all this other creation. And it's as if the Lord is saying, yes, all that is great and wonderful, and I can portray my works in that. But He's saying, it goes all the way down to this little speck that I sent my Son, okay, to glorify me. And truly Jesus did. But as an example, that there is a way to live a life, to ask our God to truly be our God. Not just verbally. You see, words come easy. Say, oh yes, I believe, you know, and yeah, I believe there's a God. And yeah, I believe God is good. But if you really believe something, you're going to take action on that belief. True? So if we really believe that God is our God, we need to take action accordingly. And that means allow God to be God in our individual lives. And how is He going to do that? We just read this. He's going to give you a new heart. And I'm not saying it, we can look at it this way. Well, that's for the sinners. Well, that's true. That's where it starts. But I want to tell you something. As you go through life, there's going to be times where we could say, maybe our heart or our mind or our emotions or whatever in our being has been contaminated by something that needs to be renewed, that needs to be transformed again. And guess what? All we have to do is say, Lord, I need your renewing power again. I need you to be God again in my life in this area. And the Spirit of the Lord, as we just read earlier, will lead unerring. And it will, what did Jesus say? I came to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to do all those things. Was that just to say He's going to do it one time and that's it? No. We're talking about a keeping power that throughout our whole journey, our whole life, on this little tiny speck up here, that God is mindful of every decision. God is mindful of every circumstance, every day that we're being faced with, every challenge, every heartache, all these things. God is listening. God is looking. He's not forgotten us. And He's just waiting to hear our cry. Say, Lord, will You be God of my life in this situation? Lord, would You glorify Yourself here? Even though I can't see into the future, even though these things don't make sense, Lord, would you be God in my life? That's all the Lord wants to hear. And truly, He will do His part, will He not? And it goes on down here, just to prove that point in verse 36. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. It's as if the only thing that can stop God from doing whatever you need in your life, the only thing that's going to stop it is your will. Because God promised, He said, to give you an expected end. God wants to give us all things, give us the kingdom. What would you have need of? If you had the whole kingdom, you have everything that's God's, everything that's the King's. So there's nothing, but the only condition is that our will be submitted to the Lord. Say, Lord, just as Jesus prayed, not my will, but thine be done. And allow God to work and move freely within our lives as the Spirit desires, wanting to be a specialist in this area in our life, be a specialist in this area in our life. Whatever needs we have, all we have to do is let God be God. That's His desire. And that's His plan. And what did it say here? I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will do it. And you could add this other little phrase, if you'll let me. You see, that's the whole key to all of this. It's not so hard. It's not so complicated. It's really simple. All we have to do is ask in faith believing. And God will truly be our God. Pray for me that I'd be faithful.